Bhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Jaya Giri Varadhari Jaya Giri Varadhari Yashoda Nandana Jaya Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Jaya Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Kunja Bihari Natira Vanachari Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari
Jaya Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivita Chara Shukra Shashmi Shimaat Maharani ki jai, Nitai Gora Premanande, Samaveta Bhaktavinda ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shishi Guru Guranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
we continue reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, called Cosmic Manifestation, chapter number 10. Bhagavatam is the answer to all the questions, and text 30. Nididhyasoratma mayam Hridayam nirabhadyata Tato manas chandra iti Sankalpa kamayevacha Nididhyasoratma mayam Hridayam nirabhidyata Tato manas chandra iti Sankalpa kamayevacha Nididhyasoratma mayam Hridayam nirabhidyata Tato manas chandra iti Sankalpa kamayevacha Nididhyaso, being desires to know, Atmamayam, own energy, Hridayam, the location of the mind, Nirabhidyata, was manifested, Tataha, thereafter, Manaha, the mind, Chandraha, the controlling deity of the mind, the moon. Iti, thus. Sankalpaha, determination. Kamaha, desire. Eva, as much as. Cha, also. Translation improved by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shilpa Prabhupada Ki Jai. When there was a desire to think about the activities of his own energy, then the heart, the seat of the mind, the moon, determination, and all desire became manifested. Purport. The heart of a living entity is the seat of the super soul, Paramatma, a plenary expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Without his presence, the living entity cannot get into the working energy according to his past deeds. The living entities who are conditioned in the material world are manifested in the creation in terms of respective inclinations inherent in them. and their requisite material body is offered to each and every one of them by the material energy under the direction of the super soul. This is explained in the Bhagavad Gita 9.10. When therefore the super soul is situated in the heart of the conditioned soul, the requisite mind is manifested in the conditioned soul, and he becomes conscious of his occupation as one is conscious of his duty after waking up from the slumber. Therefore, the material mind of the living entity develops when the super soul sits on his heart, after which the mind, the controlling deity, moon, and then the activities of the mind, namely thinking, willing, feeling, and willing, all take place. The activities of the mind cannot begin without the manifestation of the heart, and the heart becomes manifested when the Lord wants to see the activities of the material creation. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Om Ajñāna Timaram Visya Vinanjana Shalakaya Chakshurim Tanina Tasmai Shri Guravi Namaha Kam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Ladai Indaita Giri Mirti Paramaham Mandir Shri Guru Ndina Taranam. Hare Krishna. Dear devotees, please bless me to say something meaningful. I need your blessings. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Also, I would like to thank you to come to sacrifice your time in this rare human form of life just to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, to hear about Krishna. It's a very big sacrifice actually nowadays. So, today we're gonna touch the topics about the mind. The mind actually plays very important role in our life. One of the main important roles in our life, because mind is very important also in our spiritual life too. It's according, as Krishna said, that the mind could be the enemy and could be the friend. So today we're gonna discuss how to transfer the mind from enemy into the friend. And do you probably know that actually according to our mind, in the past we got all these bodies. This actually is the shape of our mind, all these bodies. And all other living entities, the shape of the mind of other living entities. Krishna said, which state of mind, the consciousness state of mind when the jiva leave their body, according to that they're getting their next body. So the mind is very important. So the mind actually, today we discuss a little bit from the side of the Patanjali system, yoga system, because in Patanjali yoga system, the mind is plays very important role in that yoga yoga system. Who is the acharya of the yoga is the Patanjali Muni. So and on the other side, we also discuss how Krishna acharyas suggest us how to deal with mind and how transfer the mind from enemy to the friend. And Patanjali Muni explained that the purpose of the yoga is to pacify the mind. That's the most important. The second sutra in Vedanta Sutra says that citta vritti nirodha. Citta vritti nirodha means to stop the mind from the flowing thoughts in the mind. And the yoga process, according to Patanjali, is to stop the strong current of the mind thoughts. So. Well, of course, first sutra in Patanjali says that Adhato Yoga Jigyasa. Now is the time to ask about the yoga. And the second, Chitta Vritti Nirodha. So, Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter that he explained, remember that verse that Dehino Smini Adhadehe. Krishna explains that to Arjuna that he said to Arjuna, you have to understand that you are not this body. And Dehino Smini, he explained, and those who are Dhira, this changes of the body does not disturb him. That's the Dhira, and so he trying to explain to Arjuna that you are not this body. Next verse, says that Matra Sparshas to Kantaya Shitoshna Sukha Dukada. In this verse, he explained that you are not this mind, not just this body. If you compare that, to understand that you are not this body compared to you are not this mind, it's very much harder to understand that you are not this mind, because you know as we read in this shloka today that the desire comes from the mind, but you have to know also that the desire also comes from the soul. So it's very subtle difference, very subtle, because desire, the soul actually desires, and all the three gunas does all the rest. And also Krishna explains here that when the Virat Purusha appeared, the desire is a function of the mind too. So Krishna explained in second chapter that to Arjuna, you're not this mind too. Not just not this body, but you're not this mind too. And he gives the treatment, the prescription, how to understand that you're not this mind. And he said, tolerate. Matra sparshas to kanteya. Tolerate. And if we tolerate, at that moment we can put our consciousness a little bit aside from the mind, and we could see that we are not this mind if we tolerate. This realization will come in every circumstances if we tolerate anything. So just like, Krishna explains to Arjuna that happiness and distress come from the mind also. It could be the same picture that we see all the people, just for example, in a soccer game. In a soccer game, the people watching the soccer game, right? And only everybody sees the same picture. Everybody's running after one ball. One smart person once said, everybody comes to the soccer game and watching how the millionaires running after the balls. One ball, how many? 20 millionaires running after the ball, because all the football players are millionaires. So they're running. And so the half of the stadium is happy, and the other half of the stadium is in grief, bad grief. But they see that one picture. Everybody's playing, running around, but others, they just crying out of happiness and hugging each other, wow, and others, ooh, bad. So this is a stage of the mind. One is in distress, one is in happiness. So this is very interesting. So the Patanjali Muni, he gives, in order to pacify the mind, he gives very interesting advices how to transform the mind. Very practical advices. Also it's, we'll get there. So the first advice that Patanjali Muni said how to pacify the mind and get the happiness out of that. He said, the first you have to be, you have to sacrifice something for your friend, Maitri. The second one, he said, you should think about the suffering of others, Karuna. You see what that means? The Patanjali, who is a acharya of the mystic yoga systems, he gives very simple advices here, very earthly advices. The third one is upeksha, be indifferent to all bad things which are going on in this world. Oh no, the third one is mudita. Mudita means to be happy for the happiness of others. And the fourth one is to be indifferent to others, to other stuff that's going on around you. So the, if we compare to our Vaishnava philosophy, we know that Vaishnava is a para-dukkha-dukkha. When he sees the suffering of others, he also suffers. And para-sukha-sukhi, when he's happy, when other happy. Also in the same meaning, Krishna preaching, when the Krishna preaching to in Uddhava Gita in 11th canto to Uddhava, he also explains what's the qualification of Madhyama Adhikari. This is a very nice verse in 11th canto, which says Ishvari tat adineshu balishesu dvishesu cha prema maitri kripa kripopeksha yak karoti samadhyama. So he said that prema, the devotee manifests his love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prema, Maitri, he's a friend to the devotees of the Lord. Kripa, he gives compassion, he shows compassion to other living entities. And Upeksha, he's indifferent to all the demons and who's envy of the Supreme Lord. So this is also, the Krishna gives that explanation that you, in order to control the mind, you have to become Madhyama Adhikari. Because we know that Srila Prabhupada also suggests, he used to say in his letters or conversation, that you have to go from Kanishtha to Madhyama Adhikari at least. Because Kanishtha, he will fall down anyway, sometime in the future. That's why you have to go higher from Kanishtha Adhikari to Madhyama Adhikari. And you, in order to become Madhyama Adhikari, Krishna explains what should be done. So originally the mind is in a mode of goodness, created in a mode of goodness. Even intelligence in mode of passion. And the body is in mode of ignorance, but the mind in the mode of goodness, originally created. And that's why originally he's very calm. When we are not contaminated with anything. So there are two causes to agitate the mind, agitation of the mind. One is internal, another is external. So internal is external agitation of the mind when the mind comes to the sense objects. All these sense objects, he got disturbed. For example, we see so many disturbance of the mind around, like advertisement. Advertisement, they just making the purpose of advertisement to drive in our mind that that's what we have is not enough. It's not enough that you have. You have to get more. Because of that, the mind becomes agitated and disturbed. Well, I need that. But it's very subtle, yeah? For example, if they advertise in something, you know, for example, the beach, the beautiful woman, half naked, and then all of a sudden the washing machine out of nothing, but they want to make you to think that this enjoyment, the beach and beautiful woman, and you have to buy the washing machine. So this subtle connection. The marketing is very very smart people working on marketing. Also another agitation, so many agitation of the mind. This cell phone, if you change japa and your cell phone next to you, oh, it's not going to be good japa. And plus we have actually this blessings of the Kali, so many internet and other things, yeah. So there is in Africa there is one one bird. This bird has a big belly, fat belly, but very thin neck, and one little beak. So in order to fill up the belly, it eats all day, eats, and not enough, always not enough. And this bird is always angry and in anxiety. So this bird can kill anybody because it's not satisfied, it's not filled up the belly totally. So this is our mind also. This our material mind will never be satisfied with all this material stuff. Only the spiritual topics can give happiness to the mind completely. Also another example that the scientists understood how they trying to understand at what moment is the happiness comes to the mind. And they said everybody likes to do shopping, right? Everybody likes to do shopping, and we know this is not good. I mean, to shop all the time, increase. But the scientists, they understood that when we want something and we buy that thing, at one moment our mind, because of he relieved from that desire to get this, for a few moments he got relieved and he got pacified and he got happiness for a few seconds, maybe for a few minutes. So they understood that the happiness they get that only after the shopping done for a few minutes. That means that the happiness we will get more when we cease the strong flow of our desires. When we stop that desire to get anything, our mind become pacified and we'll get happiness. We'll be happy, really happy. That's what the yogis do. They Patanjali suggest. If you just cease your mind, the current, the desires of the mind, if you stop that, you will be very happy. So that that's the external agitation. And internal agitation of the mind is a remembrance of our past enjoyment. Remembrance, memory of our past enjoyment or desires. So when we think, for example, we chant in japa and we think about how we enjoyed nicely 20 years back, and that's also agitation of the mind, but internal. And this also all the flowing desires, as we already explained, it's also disturbing internally. Another example of the external agitation, I forgot to mention a big example of Vishwamitra. Vishwamitra, even though he was meditating nicely, but as soon as he heard the bell on the ankles of Menaka, he became disturbed. And that's he fell down from his state of yoga practicing. So, another five stages of stage of mind, Patanjali Muni also explained the five stages. From lower stage to higher stage, according to our gunas, the mind according to the gunas, the Tamas, Rajas, and Sattva will. I'm going to explain that how it goes from bottom to high, the mind. The first level, the first stage of the mind, Patanjali Muni explained, it's called Kshipta, the worried mind, very worried. That means the mind in a mode of ignorance, worried mind. The second stage, those who like Sanskrit, called Mudha. Mudha means retarded mind. Retarded. I hope I did the translate, Google Translate did properly, retarded mind. So the third level of the, well, the Mudha is mixed tamas and rajas. And the third stage of the mind is Vikshipta, rushing around mind. This already the rajas, rushing around mind. He cannot sit in one place. His mind is always. And the fourth stage, called Ekagra, purposeful mind. This already in a mode of goodness, more or less. Purpose. He has purpose, and he is very nicely purposed. Just like this example, that when the husband and wife are driving in a car, and the husband is trying to get to his destination, driving nicely, but next to him is a talkative wife, which compared to the mind, and when and she said, oh look here, what's going on here, what's going on there. If he start looking at all this place, he get into accident. So this is very important to become ekagra, the purposeful to the destination. And the fifth stage is called Niruddha, totally calm mind. This is already pure goodness, Shuddha Sattva. and actually he explained that on the fifth stage, the person can see the Paramatma, and not only see, but also hear the Paramatma. This is very high. When all these things comes down, for example, if you have a water with the dirt, if you shake it, it's so much dirt inside. But if you keep still for a while, all the dirt comes down, and you can see clearly everything through that water glass. So the same thing, when your mind is calm, you can see the Paramatma, because actually Paramatma right next to you, right? The mind, Paramatma and the soul right next to it. But mind is screaming everything, screaming and suggesting something, and because of that we don't hear the Paramatma voice, very soft voice of Paramatma. But so when we calm down the mind, we can see and hear Paramatma. This is very high stage. So also, I want to refer, as there is another five stages, five suggestions that Krishna recommend to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. This is a verse from the 17th chapter, verse 16. He explained the, there is a austerity of the body. When we get fast, when we start fasting, our body become cure, become better. I mean, if the suggestion is to be fasted on Ekadash days. So when we fasted, our diseases comes away. We all know that also diseases come from the mind. All kind. We'll get it later. How the Ayurveda suggests how to get rid of the diseases. So. And Krishna suggests, in order to purify the mind has to be a little bit austere. So the austerity for the mind is Krishna suggesting the 17th chapter, 16th verse. He said, Manak prasada samyatvam maunam atma vinigraha bhava samshudhi iti etat tapo manasam uchyate. Satisfaction, simplicity, gravity, self-control and purification of one's existence are the austerities of the mind. So this is very important suggestion we get from Krishna. he said, satisfaction. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport to this verse that satisfaction means, satisfaction of the mind means if you avoid sense gratification. If you just avoid sense gratification, your mind will be satisfied. This is the purport. Well, I'm not going to read because we don't have much time and I have to say a few more things. So, and satisfaction. So this the second one is simplicity. Simplicity, saumyatvam. And it's very very interesting, the word saumyatvam. Saumyatvam also comes from the root cause, Sanskrit name soma. Soma, we know that soma gives this soothing rays to everything, right? It's not like if you compare to the sun. The sun is Srila Prabhupada is saying, scorching heat. Scorching is just heavy heat. It's hard. But the moon is smoothing light nicely, cooling. So this simplicity also, Saumyatvam. Saumyatvam also means you control your speech. Saumyatvam, being simple. Srila Prabhupada explained also. Train your mind. be grave. So there is one little story referring to that Saumyatvam. Once there was a king in small kingdom, and he had some problem. He didn't have any descendants. How do you say descendants? Children. Well, those who inherit the throne of the king. So he didn't have it for many years. So one day, one sage arrived to his kingdom, small kingdom. And he came to his darshan, to the sage, and said, "My dear sage, you know, I don't have, I have, everything is okay in my kingdom, everything running smoothly and nicely, but I'm in a little bit anxiety and problem, I don't have any children. Can you bless me, please?" And he said, when the sage was like very high, advanced sage, and he looked at him, and he understood by his fate he's not allowed to get children. And he said, "Sorry, King, you know, according to your fate, you don't have, you will not have any children." And well, he said, "Well, I cannot help you." So he left the darshan and went walking towards his palace. And on the way, he met the disciple of the sage, and he saw him and he said, "My dear king, what's going on? Why are you so sad?" Well, he explained that, "Well, I went to the darshan of the sage, your spiritual master, and he said that he cannot help me. I don't have any children." Well, and that disciple, he said, "Well, don't worry. I'll bless you. You can get the child." And the king become happy. Well, probably that also, like Rishi Sringi, he has some power to give blessings. The king said, "Oh, maybe disciple is better than the spiritual master, the master." And he went away. When this disciple of the guru, he met him, they met each other. The guru understood that something going on, and he said, "What's going on?" And he said, "Well, I gave the blessings to that king that he will have the children, the son." And the spiritual master said, "Really? Okay, if you blessed that, then you have to born from that king, because you blessing." So, well, he said, if you cannot take your word back, so you have to die and get the birth from that king." So that happened. He died, that disciple died and was born from that king, and he was very happy, that king. But the, he was healthy, nice boy, but he was deaf, not deaf, how say, not speaking?
Deaf.
Now?
Dumb.
He was dumb. he's not speaking anything. Everything was good. But so when and the king was trying to get him, he brought all kind of doctors and other people to make him speak somehow, but it was no avail. I mean, there's nothing, nobody can do anything. So one day when he was a small boy, was around 6-7 year old boy, once they walk through the forest with one of the servants of the king. He went walking, and he saw one bird sitting on a tree and start giving some voice. And they saw that the hunter, from the bow, killed that bird. And all of a sudden, little boy, seeing that scene, that picture, he said, "You said something, you'll die." And this servant of the king, he said, "Oh, you start speaking, come on, hello, Haribol." And they came back to the palace, and they said, "My dear king, your boy start speaking. I personally heard that he said few words." Well, and the king said, "Okay, say something in front of me." And the boy was again nothing, I mean, again deaf. Playing dumb role, nothing speaking. But that servant said, I swear, I heard that, I heard he said few words, I heard that, I swear." And well, prove it, make him speak again. And he tried that and that. Well, finally the king said, "You lied to me, to that servant. You lied to me. He never spoke anything. You lied to me, and I will kill you for that." So when the son saw that picture again, he said, you start talking, you will die. Again, he said, in front of the king. And king become excited. Oh, all right. And this boy, little boy start speaking again. He said, "You know, I'm. You remember that when you was a few years back, when the sadhu blessed you and he didn't give, and that disciple, he explained all this story. That I gave you that benediction. I was born from you. I was that upstart, that upstart. So I gave, and I have to take birth again. So, but my curse is that." That when I start talking, I will die. So after saying this, he died. So that is an example of, you have to shout your mouth. Don't speak too much, otherwise you get in trouble. Nowadays, so many people talking nonsense and getting in trouble. And the big austerity of the mind nowadays in this social media, I mean Facebook or other, you have to be really in control of your mind not to type any comments to distort yourself and others. That's important to be, as Krishna suggests, to be Somyatvam. The third one is Maunam. I talk about Maunam. Somyatvam means simple. Atma Vinigraha means the control. Self-control. You have to control your mind. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati suggests how to control your mind. When you wake up, you put you beat your mind 100 times with the shoe in the morning, and 100 times in the evening with the broomstick. That's his suggestion how you control your mind. You have to be self-controlled. Of course, it's very difficult to control the mind. The last one is Bhava Samshuddhi. Bhava Samshuddhi, Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that you have to be honest with others. in order to purify the to purify your own existence, Bhava Samshuddhi. Be honest with all the dealings with other people. So in order to in scripture it says that in order to get fast to all these levels, you have to there is one very important advice. You have to associate with those who have pure and calm mind. If you associate with them, it's like express. You get all these stages fast, from down to bottom, from down to top, very fast. So this is an explanation that when we associate with the devotees, when we associate with pure devotees, with Krishna in his form, coming to the temple, we pacify our mind, we help our mind to become, to come through these stages. And yeah, even though, you know, sometimes Srila Prabhupada explains in very harsh words, and sometimes it's very difficult to swallow for our mind, but we have to swallow that pill in order to get through. Just like a big example, who remembers that example when the hard speech from the third canto, a hard speech helped someone to advance. When Vidura came to Dhritarashtra and he started chastising him, you old man, you eating from Maharaj Yudhishthira's hands, and even though they kill you, so they kill you, all your sons, and you have to give it up and go to the forest, surrender. So in this very harsh words from the sadhu, very harsh, but when he did that, he attained Brahma Bhuta, right? Very fast, in not a small amount of time. So, but also not, another example from Mahabharata, also our agitation comes not only through hearing something good or bad, but eating something also. If you're eating from the karmis, your mind becomes, we know that the cooks gives his mind to those who eats his preparation, right? Also, big example of the Bhishma Dev. When Draupadi was unstrapped and Bhishma didn't say any words, and it was amazing. How come that this most truthful person didn't say any word to protect Draupadi? But he explained why. You know why? Because he ate from Duryodhana's plate, from Duryodhana's table. He ate that. He was dependent on Duryodhana. That's why his mind became a little bit contaminated. And he couldn't protect the Draupadi. That's also important too. There are actually 10, I will give you quick, 10 influences on our fate. The first one is from bottom to down. Influence of on our, the factors influence on our consciousness and mind. The first is agama. Agama means holy scriptures. The second one is the water. The, according to the purity of the water, it gives influence, like drink, the liquids. Actually, not water, the liquids. Like liquor, if we drink liquor or vodka, our mind and consciousness becomes. But if we drink the pure water, we'll get nicely. The third one is the people with whom we associate. The fourth one is kala, the time. The time is very important to wake up early in the morning to get our mind disciplined. The fifth is a place. The place where we live should be pure and clean. That's our mind will be. We cannot be satisfied and nicely practiced if we have garbage around us where we're living. And the sixth one is dhyana. Dhyana is the object of our meditation. Should be Krishna and the deities. And the seventh one is a samskaras. All kind of samskaras that we do, well, all the yagas, actually a big samskara, also the chanting every day is a big samskara. The eighth one is the karma, our activity. We couldn't be pacified working on slaughterhouses. We have to work a nice job, at least, in mode of goodness. The ninth one is janma. Janma is where we're born, from a good Brahman family, or, but actually it's explained that the second birth, from our spiritual master, is also good janma birth. And the tenth month is mantras, or all kind of things that we chant every day. It's already 9 o'clock and I wanted to say a few more things. Well, I just want to talk about the diseases. Actually, all the diseases come from the mind, we know that. And the most, and the Ayurveda teach us how different approach in Ayurveda how to cure the diseases. There are four classification of diseases according to Ayurveda. The number one is diseases equipped with our karma or with our dealings. This number one disease. And according to that, there will be different cure, different medicine. So, for example, if number one, we can cure with the sacrifices and charity. Number two is the diseases inherited from young age, like all kind of phobias and fears. And the Shastras explain that in Parashara Hora Shastra, Parashara Muni explains that there are three different things which are very important in order to raise a good child. Number one is, of course, the stars under which we was born. The second one is upbringing or education, upbringing. I hope my Google translate properly, upbringing, the second one. And third one, association, which out of three is most important. Number three is diseases out of subtle living entities, like spirits. So that's another name of the mental diseases. And number four, which all around us, number four is diseases caused by incorrect behavior. We know that when we come, oh, we got a problem, we come to the doctor, we got a problem, the doctor give us some curement. But after a couple months, our disease comes back. Why? Because our behavior, our style of living is wrong. That's why this disease comes back again. So the Ayurveda, it looks into the root. Disease. If that it has this disease, you have to cure not by some pills, but you change your lifestyle. So these first three connected to the mind, these three types of diseases. And number four is like indirectly, but also from the mind. If you have bad lifestyle, it's also your mind means not good. So the last couple words that I want to say that our mind is always feel something, and we have some choice between good and bad. So we have to make a good choice to do all these good things, because our process is very serious, and we're gonna die soon. So we have to be very attentive to the mind. Concentrate the mind on higher purposes, and in this way we'll get purified, and our life will be successful. Thank you very much for your listening. Thank you. Sorry for a little bit late. Maybe have one question or a comment. I hope I did proper. I mean, my English is not, but I tried to get us. Because, you know, from everything that I speak, first I think in Russian, then I translate. It's a little bit different. I still don't think in English.
Giriraj Maharaj has a story that he was sick and he had some kind of chest pain and cold coughing going on. And then he took medicine and then went away, but then it came back. So he went to, in South Africa, he goes to South Africa, and there's a famous Ayurvedic doctor. And the famous Ayurvedic doctor, so when you go to the reception of the doctor, there's a two types of reception. One is for Rajagun, kind of disco dance and all the red flower, everything. And there is another was a little fountain, you know, white, everything, like Satyagun. So Maharaj sat there with his servant. So the doctor called him. Then doctor says, what is the matter? He says, this is not bronchitis, but some kind of a mucus. And it keeps coming back. And it like, then he says, do you have some feeling against someone? And Maharaj, when he was in the reception, not before, he remembers 45 years back, one of his godbrother, I won't say the name, one of his godbrother was pushing him to go book distribution, because Giriraj Maharaj is quiet, he's like busy in Bombay. But his godbrother was pushing and was saying like, hey, you are useless. So he was feeling like he was holding some grudge. After 45 years, it pops. Oh, all these years he didn't remember. So when the doctor said, are you holding something against someone? And then he says, yeah, just all of a sudden today we remember that. Maybe he tried to pacify that. So he comes back and he called Radhanath Maharaj and says, you know, long time back, I was not into book distribution so much, but I was serving Prabhupada and Bombay management. But this godbrother, anyway, Radhanath Maharaj said, but he did so much service. So they called, that godbrother is still alive. He called him and said, he apologized. He said, I'm sorry, you were pushing. Yes, you were doing wonderful service, but I was doing my service and I could not, and I was not feeling well with you. I was holding something that you are too much with me. So please forgive me and this. Everything went away. And his disease disappeared like anything. Mm-hmm. He says, almost 1.5 year, no sign. So definitely, all this subtle body, the mind, is the root of those diseases.
That's very good, Ayurvedic doctor.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. You can find out his disease.
Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.